meet in the presence of God, who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all may together live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability, and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in two world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn.
At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Thank you.
ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of life into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We sing the supreme sacrifice, O valiant hearts, who to your glories came.
Thank you.
Beloved in Christ, we have come together to recall the presence of God, the Father of us all, maker and sustainer of all that is, whose love is never withheld and whose mercy never passes away. We remember his faithfulness in times of darkness and despair. We thank him for all who counted the service of others greater than the service of self, and who gave their lives that we might live. We rededicate ourselves in his service, that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that his kingdom of peace and joy may fill the hearts of people everywhere. But first, we acknowledge our failure to live as children of one Father in the world entrusted to us, with all its sins and shortcomings, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, its evil divisions and hatreds. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate thought, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Canticle, the Nightly. Psalm appointed for this morning, number 46.
Old Testament reading is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it to the message I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
The canticle urges fortitude in us.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Canticle Benedictus.
Thank you.
I believe in God,
I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the King. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations, divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin, to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We recall all servicemen and women, especially from the United Kingdom, who gave their lives in two world wars and other conflicts, each one remembered by and known to God. With them we remember those who love them in death as in life, their families, their colleagues, and their friends. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world, and grant us grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honor the past, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever.
Amen.
We pray for all who suffer as a result of war, the injured, disabled, and mentally distressed, for
for civilian women, children, and men whose lives are disfigured by war or terror. The bereaved, all who have lost their livelihood or security, and those whose faith in God has been weakened or destroyed. We also pray for the Royal British Legion, this year celebrating its 103rd anniversary, and other fellowships of men and women who are dedicated to the relief of those in need. O Christ, our Master and Redeemer, you were wounded for the salvation of all and your body broken for the peace of the world. Hear us, therefore, as we commend to your care all who have been wounded in body, mind, or spirit, especially in recent conflict, and for whom life will never be the same. Grant them healing of body and mind, strengthening of spirit and confidence, and whatever the future holds for them, the encouragement of good companionship and of understanding love for your dear sake.
Amen.
We pray for all in positions of responsibility, all who bear the burden of political, military, or religious leadership. We pray for the King, the Prime Minister and government, as well as the leaders of all countries represented at the United Nations organization. We pray that all church leaders may give voice to the Christian concern for justice and holiness. Almighty God, we pray for those who occupy high office in this and all the nations of the world. Help them to lead wisely and well, to seek the welfare of all the people, and to make their contribution to the stability, well-being, and peace of the world through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for the armed services, the Royal Navy, the Army, and the Royal Air Force, and those who serve in all ranks of the Police Service of Northern Ireland and the Northern Ireland Prison Service. We pray for the emergency services everywhere and for all who work in the face of great danger day by day to establish peace and security and the well-being of people. To your care and protection, O Lord of hosts, we commend the men and women of our security forces at home and abroad, as well as all aid, medical, and reconstruction workers. Defend them in the hour of danger. Strengthen them in the fulfillment of their duty, and enable them to serve their country with loyalty, courage, and honor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We bring before God in penitence the hatreds of our world, the deep divisions of our humanity. We ask for a new understanding, a new resolve, a new obedience to the law of love. We pray for peace. Lord Christ, you are our peace. For by your cross you have broken down the dividing wall between the nations. By the power of your Spirit, reconcile us to the Father and to our brothers and sisters of every nationality and culture, that we may be no longer strangers to one another, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, for the glory of your name.
Amen.
Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness, and give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not, and in our blindness we cannot ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
The hymn, I Vow to Thee, My Country, all earthly things above. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we mark the eve of the armistice, the moment when 106 years ago, the hostilities of the First World War came to an end, and peace was made after four long, devastating years of war. More than 750,000 British men and women were killed, and countless others were maimed, wounded, or emotionally destroyed. It is an opportunity for us to remember and honor those who lost their lives in that great war, and also in the Second World War, as this year we have remembered the 80th anniversary of that crucial D-Day in 1944, which really was the beginning of the end of that conflict. And we also remember those in conflict since. We hold silence together and allow our remembrances to help us, if we can, face a little more honestly the truth of what it means to be human and deepen our commitment to making peace in our own day. Silence, remembering, and peacemaking. In all of this, we seek the thread of God's love. When we look at the dreadful cost of war and the sacrifices made by so many, we wonder if we can truly believe, as the letter to the Hebrews tells us, that the cross was where all of God's work was done. Once for all, as Jesus gave his life in a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. How does that show us now how to live out of that belief?
as a community of reconciliation and peace in the world, if we are to be shaped around that self-offering and generous love of Christ on the cross. At the Imperial War Museum in London, as part of the Armistice Centenary events in 2018, there was an impressive exhibition, including a sound recording of the actual moment of the ceasefire. It is created from an original graphic document made at the time. This technique of graphic recording of sound onto photographic paper was used during the war to work out the exact location of enemy artillery. It records, as I've said, the moment of the ceasefire at the River Moselle. A barrage of continuing heavy gunfire is heard at 2 minutes to 11 o'clock. In the final moments. By 1 minute past the hour, there is silence. The gunfire has stopped, and into that great silence you hear the sound of birdsong, the first remarkable sounds of peace. The war has ended. Peace has come. It is incredibly moving. And I would encourage you to listen to, if you can, that tape. You can find it online. From the sound archive are also the stories of individuals who were affected by the end of the war and that boundary between the war and peace. One person recounted, "Well, do you know, strangely enough, we wept because the silence was so awful. You see, we'd been used to the noise of guns all day long, all day long, all day long. It was so strange to have silence." With the incomprehensible loss of life of that great war, communities back home were in some ways silenced also. Not just by the silence of peace, but by the silence of loss. The silence of the lost generation who never returned home to talk and joke and live and breathe. They were silenced by the grief of so many lost in communities, often because their loved ones had signed up with their friends together. Kitchener's Plans Platoon from the same factory or sports team or village. In her book, Fierce Imaginings, The Great War, Ritual, Memory, and God, one Rachel Mann describes the First World War as a people's war, a civilian's war, a local war. Whole streets and communities joined en masse, moved by the call of their neighbors, of king and country. There was so much death that postmen and postboys at that time gave up their jobs because they couldn't bear to be the bearers of bad news to families. And then there was the silence of the trauma, the PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, of those who did return but couldn't speak of the horrors they had experienced. The silence we hold today honors that generation who were silenced by war, by loss, by trauma. Into that silence we hear the words of the First World War poets speaking like Wilfred Owen and Siegfried Sassoon and Robert Graves, who gave a way of humanizing the war and talking about the war as a whole generation attempted to process the incomprehensible, and through whose prose and poetry, Rachel Mann suggests, the Word emerged more authentically than from the sermons of the day. Wilfred Owen, who died just a week before Armistice Day, and whose parents received the news just as the bells were ringing out to celebrate the peace on tomorrow, 106 years ago, had as contemporary poet Michael Symons Roberts describes an abiding sense of passionate tenderness for the soldiers he sees around him, on both sides, and deeply critical anger at what has brought them to this point. He wrestles with God, and the Christ he sees is in no man's land. In a letter to Osbert Sitwell in July, he writes, "For 14 hours yesterday, I was at work, teaching Christ to lift his cross by numbers and how to adjust his crown and not to imagine he thirsts until after the last halt. I attended his supper to see that there were no complaints and inspected his feet to see that they should be worthy of the nails. I see to it that he is dumb and stands to attention before his accusers. With a piece of silver, I buy him every day, and with maps, I make him familiar with the topography of Golgotha." This is the raw emotion of someone who lived with the horrors of that war and wrestled to seek and know Christ by their side. Wilfred Owen is digging deep into the mud of his awful experiences to meet the one who gave his life once and for all to save the world from sin and from the horrors of war. We are encouraged to wrestle and dig deep too over Ukraine, over Gaza, over Syria, over Yemen, over Afghanistan, over Myanmar. And the other conflicts of our day, to meet Christ who is suffering there. As we struggle, we find words to speak into these silences and horrors of loss and trauma of our own day and make Christ known. In the depths and discover, he gives us words to speak of healing and forgiveness, and of the knowledge that in Christ death is not the end and love, not violence, is the final word. God can take all our raging and bitterness and in the resurrection show us the way to peace, the hard-won costly peace of the sacrifice of his Son, who faced war but didn't respond with retribution and retaliation, but with mercy and forgiveness and love, and gives us a way to be human. Remembrance. In our own day, we will live with remembrances of war or the memories of those we or our families loved and lost, perhaps years ago. Or it may be that back home, one's country is going through conflict now, and one is seeking security and safety and a home here in the United Kingdom. War and remembrance of war is not something removed, an experience that took place just over 100 years ago in another land. It is present in different ways for all of us now. For many years here, our own experience of war with the conflict over 30 years here in Northern Ireland, or caring for Ukrainian refugees coming here since the brutal invasion by Russia, having left their own country
as the war there was starting. Many have found ways to heal from it and live through it, but in some ways, as with all loss from conflict, they will never simply get over it. In our remembering of these last 10 years since 2014, as we have mapped these 4 years of the First World War, the human face and cost of that war has been more present. We have let go of the last surviving veterans like Henry Allingham and Harry Patch and others. Families have made more effort to connect to their own loved ones who serve, to bring the connection with them alive. The further away it gets, the more we have focused on the individuals involved, as if in their receding into the past, we are trying to catch hold of them and not let them go. But as we do that, and as they fade away, we come face to face with questions of what would we have done if we had been in their shoes, face to face with our own humanity. One chilling recollection from a recording project of those who served was from a gentleman who spoke about his experiences and simply said of an encounter in the trenches, "All humanity leaves you. It's either him or me." Remembering brings us closer to our own humanity and closer to our need for answers. Our gatherings today are about holding silence, about remembering, but also about longing to be formal as people who long to live in peace now. In our New Testament reading for today, we hear of the disciples, Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John, fishermen who leave their nets and with radical obedience follow Jesus. At the beginning of that reading, we hear that John has been arrested. There is a sense of foreboding. The shadow of the cross is already present. The gentle scenes of fishing and the mending of nets paints an idyllic scene, but Jesus will call the disciples into deep and raging waters. To the face of that impending hostility, Jesus doesn't build an army. He builds community. He calls individuals to come and follow him. It's not a drummed-up call to go and fight for a nation, but a call to live and serve in a new, radical way as people of a heavenly kingdom. It will mean sacrifice, but not one that is about winning a war, but about being a community that brings peace and makes the kingdom of God come near. As we hold silence and remember, we are invited to be part of that peacemaking community also. At a time when we struggle with a rise in nationalism around Europe and elsewhere, when the rhetoric of public discourse in our world is more brutal, that call to be peacemakers centered on the love of Christ, even in deep water, seems more urgent. On the eve of the armistice, we honor a passing age, but we live into a future where all that those who fought have done is not in vain. We hold silence and remember, not so that we can forget for the rest of the year, but so we can be reminded of a call to speak and recommit to live as peacemakers, as people who, through the love and passion and self offering and sacrifice of Christ, God has come near. And we live into the hope of a world where war will be no more. We will remember them. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as his most justly due, all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion, from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. The loose collection at this service will be in favour of the poppy appeal. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, Eternal God, Before Whose Face We Stand.
Commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Will you strive for all that makes for peace?
We will.
Will you seek to heal the wounds of war?
We will.
Will you work for a just future for all humanity?
We will.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer to you the fears in us that have not yet been cast out by love. May we accept the hope you have placed in the hearts of all people and live lives of justice, courage, and mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer.
Amen.
God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the King, the Commonwealth, and all people unity, peace, and concord, and to us and all his servants life everlasting. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. On Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, there will be the Wednesday Club for seniors and retirees in the parish and the community. So do keep that in mind. The last meetings of this have been very enjoyable and worthwhile, and it would be lovely if we could continue in that vein. Also, on Wednesday at 8 o'clock, the Bowling Club meets in the hall. On Thursday evening, choir practice here in church at 8 o'clock. On Friday evening, confirmation class in the parochial hall from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Sunday next, the second Sunday before Advent, parish communion at 10 o'clock. The following Sunday, that's 2 weeks from today, the 24th of November, there will be no service at 10 o'clock. That is because of the confirmation service taking place that afternoon at 3:30, when the bishop will be administering the rite of confirmation. And although there will be no service at 10, we do encourage parishioners to come to the confirmation and support those who are assuming full membership of the church. The Christmas fair this year takes place on Friday the 29th of November from 7 to 9 p.m. in the hall. There are flyers which the church wardens will be distributing. If you haven't received one already, please do take one. We are making a general appeal for contributions to the various stalls
same as in previous years. So please keep that in mind. There's also a sheet on the table if you want to order holly wreaths. They are £9 each, but it certainly would be very helpful if we knew how many we need to supply. So if you're interested in a holly wreath, please put your name on the sheet on the table. There are also squares for hampers. So whatever you can do, please, to support this event in any way, we will be grateful. And during this month, contributions are also requested for the food bank, especially bottles of Schlur and small selection boxes. The recessional hymn, O God, help in ages past.